It wasn't a request. It wasn't even an order. It was a sort of forecast. The voice of the hat went straight to the hind brain without bothering to deal with the consciousness, and Rincewind's legs started to move of their own accord. The other two also jerked forwards, walking with the awkward doll-like jerking that suggested that they too were on invisible strings. "Why the oh no?" said Kanina. "I mean, oh no, on general principles I can understand, but was there any particular reason?" "If we get a chance, we must run," said Rincewind. "Did you have anywhere in mind?" "It probably won't matter. We're doomed, anyway."
"Why?" said Nigel.
"Well," said Rincewind, "have you ever heard of the Mage Wars?" There were a lot of things on the disc that owed their origin to the Mage Wars. Sapient pearwood was one of them. The original tree was probably perfectly normal and spent its days drinking groundwater and eating sunshine in a state of blessed unawareness. And then the magic wars broke around it and pitchforked its genes into a state of acute perspicacity. It also left it ingrained, as it were, with a bad temper, but sapient pearwood got off lightly. Once, when the level of background magic on the disc was young and high and found every opportunity to burst on the world, wizards were all as powerful as sorcerers and built their towers on every hilltop. And if there was one thing a really powerful wizard can't stand, it is another wizard. His instinctive approach to diplomacy is to hex them till they glow, then curse them in the dark. That could only mean one thing. All right, two things. Well, three things. All-out, thaumaturgical war. And there were, of course, no alliances, no sides, no deals, no mercy, no seeth. The skies twisted, the seas boiled. The scream and whiz of fireballs turned the night into day. But that was all right, because the ensuing clouds of black smoke turned the day into night. The landscape rose and fell like a honeymoon duvet, and the very fabric of space itself was tied in multidimensional knots, and bashed on a flat stone down by the river of time. For example, a popular spell at the time was Pelepel's Temporal Compressor, which on one occasion resulted in a race of giant reptiles being created, evolving, spreading, flourishing, and then being destroyed in the space of about 5 minutes, leaving only its bones in the earth to mislead forthcoming generations completely. Trees swam, fishes walked, mountains strolled down to the shops for a packet of cigarettes, and the mutability of existence was such that the first thing any cautious person would do when they woke up in the morning was count their arms and legs. That was, in fact, the problem. All the wizards were pretty evenly matched, and in any case lived in high towers well protected with spells, which meant that most magical weapons rebounded and landed on the common people who were trying to scratch an honest living from what was temporarily the soil and lead ordinary, decent, but rather short, lives. But still the fighting raged, battering the very structure of the universe of order, weakening the walls of reality, and threatening to topple the whole rickety edifice of time and space into the darkness of the dungeon dimensions. One story said that the gods stepped in, but the gods don't usually take a hand in human affairs unless it amuses them. Another one, and this was the one that the wizards themselves told and wrote down in their books, was that the wizards themselves got together and settled their differences amicably for the good of mankind. And this was generally accepted as the true account, despite being as internally likely as a lead life belt. The truth isn't easily pinned to a page. In the bathtub of history, the truth is harder to hold than the soap, and much more difficult to find.
"What happened then?"
said Kanina. "It doesn't matter," said Rincewind mournfully. "It's going to start all over again. I can feel it. I've got this instinct. There's too much magic flowing into the world. There's going to be a horrible war. It's all going to happen. The disc is too old to take it this time. Everything's been worn too thin. Doom, darkness and destruction bear down on us. The apocalypse is nigh."
"Death walks abroad," added Nigel, helpfully.
"What?" snapped Rincewind, angry at being interrupted.
"I said, death walks abroad," said Nigel.
"Abroad, I don't mind," said Rincewind. "They're all foreigners. It's death walking around here I'm not looking forward to."
"It's only a metaphor," said Kanina.
"That's all you know. I've met him."
"What did he look like?" said Nigel.
"Put it like this, yes?"
"He didn't need a hairdresser."
Now the sun was a blow lamp nailed to the sky, and the only difference between the sand and red hot ash was the colour. The luggage plodded erratically across the burning dunes. There were a few traces of yellow slime rapidly drying on its lid. The lonely little oblong was watched from atop of a stone pinnacle the shape and temperature of a firebrick by a chimera. For a description of the chimera, we shall turn to Broomfog